Hello, everyone listening and watching. This is the Forrest Stevens Show. The solo episodes are always a little bit different, but today I'm going to be doing the old classic, which is looking through my book, which is called Tripping, and just flipping to a random page like I just did. And I'm going to be reading one of these passages and seeing if it sparks any creativity within me beyond the original thought here that I've already had. And see if it's interesting to you as well. So you can do this. You can follow along, and you can do this yourself by buying this book, and it's linked in the description. So here we go. Random page. Here we go. Even when life is going well, it can always get better. And if we don't know what that means, we reach for what we think helps us constantly improve. We all just want a good life. We all just want to live a good life, whatever that means. So that seems really, really simple, and it kind of is. I mean, it goes to a real base feeling. I think that last line sums it up. The second to last line, we all just want to live a good life. We all just want to live a good life. The kind of the problem with that, or the challenge with that, is that that's different depending on who you are. A good life is defined by your own perspective. So that can become a challenge when what you think or what actually creates a good life for you impedes on other people's definition of their own good life. You know, basically that ties into the idea of freedom as well. Like freedom there's certain degrees of freedom, and the kind of the base idea I think that we should be following towards freedom is that same concept of pursuing that good life. You know, we have the freedom to pursue, you know, to pursue happiness, to pursue a good life. And a lot of the laws that we live in society, whether they're enforced or not, or whether they're just kind of internal or external, a lot of them, and not all of them, were designed with the intent in mind to make it so that people could be free to a certain degree and to hopefully not impede on other people's freedom. And that's where freedom becomes really complicated. Is freedom is not just this, okay, it's not this anarchistic idea, or at least that's not how we see it in this world. And in my personal belief, that's not how it is kind of best utilized or best sort of actualized in this world. I don't think that freedom should be anarchistic. I don't think that it should push everyone else's freedoms aside for your own individual freedom. Okay, so let's go through this line by line. I mentioned one thing there that I can expand on again if it comes to me. But the first line, first sentence, even when life is going well, it can always get better. Now, this is another thing about perspective. We have this sort of way of living where we get used to the way we're living. You know, this seems to be sort of an intrinsic thing to our human spirit or our biology. I think it's ingrained into us and it's also just the way life is, because we are intrigued and we are enthusiastic about new experiences. And that sort of means that, you know, when something is the same all the time, that we get used to it. It becomes the normal. And this can be seen, you know, obviously there's going to be outliers that this doesn't apply to, but for the majority of people, I would say, you know, you can see where people's income increases and, you know, their life before their income increases, they would say, okay, I just need an extra $400 and then I'll be okay. Like, and that's because the challenge that you're facing is financial. But then, you know, you start to make more money and there might be an improvement, and there probably would be in that specific case that I'm drawing out, but there would be an improvement on your life. But then you would sort of start to feel like your increase in pay and your different financial situation was normal, and there would be some other probably financial thing and goal that you would want to improve on. And you know, it's very rare that in our lives we feel really content. There is this sort of innate drive, and it might be biological just because it's like that's how you survive in this world. If you are not constantly thinking about your future, your safety, your health, and those are in very base level, but we think about that in much more abstract ways. But you know, trying to stack money in your bank account is another way of trying to, you know, hunt a deer with a you know, and it's another way of trying to sharpen your axe to cut down more firewood. It's another way of storing energy, and that's something that keeps you alive. The more energy you can store, and the better you can store it, and the more different ways that you can store it, the more likely you and your offspring will survive. And we know that at a very DNA level. So that, I think, is my theory of why life can always get better, is because we hit a we go, our life does get better. It improves in the way that we want it to. And then there's a new level for us to reach. Next sentence here. And if we don't know what that means, we reach for what we think helps us constantly improve. Okay. And if we don't know what that means, okay, so that is referring to life getting better. If we don't know what it means to live a better life, we reach for what we think helps us constantly improve. Now, I'm not sure where I was at when I wrote that. I really am curious, what I thought, you know, what I thought there. But I think what I'm thinking about here is that we don't really actually know what's going to make our life better. Oftentimes we have challenges in our lives, and we think, okay, well, I need this consumer good. You know, I need a new chair for I need a new computer chair because my back is hurting, and my back is my main problem. My back is causing me all these problems, right? You get a new gaming chair and you have some other problem, and it's like we are constantly solving problems. And maybe your back is actually hurting because you're stressed, because there's this big underlying thing that you need to say. You need to express yourself in some way, and that stress is building up, and it's holding space physically in your body. So that is an example. That's not a specific example to me or to anyone else really, but that is an example of how you can try to improve your life by buying this chair when the you know, the office chair that you had wasn't causing you back pain, but you thought it was. So you're trying to improve your life by buying a new chair. But there's actually this problem, and you don't know how to solve it. Maybe you don't know how to solve what's actually the problem, but you're trying to. And I think we all try to. You know, it's what we do in our day is our attempt at bettering our life for tomorrow. I really think that. And there is different degrees of ambition for each individual. So some people, they get up and they don't try to improve their life at all. But even eating something, drinking water, drinking food, drinking food. What I meant to say was not drinking something that harms you. You know, just yeah, eating food is preparing yourself for the next day, and is preparing you for even just a couple hours into the future. But it is preparing you for the future. And it might also be satisfying the present as well, which is still doing something for yourself. So we have different levels of ambition, energy, ability to improve our lives. But I think all of us, to some degree, wake up and try to improve our life, which means our future existence. That's what's so crazy is, like, we can't do anything for our past. We can't do anything for our past. And even, like, suffering because of your past isn't really happening in the past. It's happening in the present. You know, getting hung up on something that's happened to you that makes you feel shamed or whatever it might be. That's happening to you in the present, that feeling of shame or whatever. This is just an example again. It's happening to you in the present, and you can't actually do anything about the past, but you can change the way that you think about it through therapy, through different mediums of self-improvement there, and of mental and psychological and possibly even spiritual improvements. But that might be doing something in the present, but there's this compounding effect, whereas what you do in the present makes the biggest difference in the future. You know, it's if you stop going to work, you're not going to feel it right away. You're not going to feel the financial stress of not having income coming in every single day. It's going to compound. You're going to start running out of that savings. That problem is going to start getting bigger as you go deeper and deeper into your savings. And then in the future, you say, oh, wow, I really haven't prepared for this moment because I've just squandered all of my stored energy and I haven't been working enough to replenish it. So what we do affects us in the present, but it affects us in a compounding degree in our futures. And a lot of times we do a lot of stuff in the present that we don't fully understand the consequence of. So that's something to think about. And that's what this has gotten me into thinking about. This is why I love this book, and I think that it could be very interesting to other people, is like literally just go through, just flip to a page and go through sentence by sentence and start thinking, just allow your brain to go into whatever. Like me talking about what I was just talking about, it doesn't really directly have to do with this. It's me connecting all these dots and all these lines and having this thought in this way in a very unique sense and in a sense that feels special and new. I have thought about these things before, and I've talked a lot about stored energy on this podcast. I've thought about these things, the present, the future, the past, but I've never laid them out in this way. And the only reason I have in this moment is because of reading this tiny little paragraph on this page. And you could expand on it by just thinking. For me, it's much more impactful to be forced to create something. So I expand on this really well by recording podcasts on it, or at least that's my opinion. Another way somebody could expand on it is by writing. That's why these are as condensed as they are, is to give you space to expand in this book. Even when life is going well, it can always get better. And if we don't know what that means, we reach for what we think helps us constantly improve. We all just want to live a good life, whatever that means. And I think the big takeaway from that is to respect other people and the life that they want to live. And, you know, some people know how to improve their lives. Some people know what a good life to them is. And other people don't know those things. So if you can help them, that's great. But, you know, I think the most important person to help is yourself. And that'll just be so nourishing for any narcissists out there, because they've spent their lives helping themselves. But that doesn't go out to the narcissist. That goes out to the people who think about the world in multi-layers, and they think about, and by doing that, they think about the world not only in their own perspective. I think a narcissist, I think that's the biggest thing about what defines a narcissist to me, or one of the key characteristics, is that they can't put themselves in other people's shoes in the same way that people who are not narcissists can. And, you know, I think somebody who is performing narcissistically, or is suffering from narcissism, if that person has the awareness to occasionally or whatever put themselves in the perspective of others, they will increasingly find it harder and harder to be narcissistic in their actions. I think it's very easy to think only about yourself. I think it's very easy to have certain traits that are common with narcissists, because we are experiencing, I mean, we can imagine ourselves in other perspectives. We can imagine what the life is of somebody that we're trying to help, but we cannot experience it. We cannot experience anything that somebody else is experiencing. Even if we are experiencing the same thing in the physical world, we interpret it and our sensation of it is entirely different. That's what's so beautiful about shared experiences in the physical world, is you get a sense of experiencing something with someone else or a collective. And that sense is really like, oh wow, okay, I'm not alone, because that person felt the same way I did. And people can feel the same thing, same way about something, but each experience is like a snowflake. You know, they are individually unique. They are just like our fingerprints are all different. You know, it's as simple as like you're taking up different physical space than the other person. And it's much more complex than that when you start thinking about all of the past experiences that we all have had individually that have shaped us to be different than each other, even if we have many similarities with the person that we're experiencing the same thing with. It is still slightly different, and I would argue more than slightly, and definitely in the majority of cases way more than slightly. The person next to us, I mean, everybody knows it, we are all very different people. We are all so different, and that breeds conflict. I mean, this podcast is coming out, you know, just after this new thing that's happened with Hamas, this terrorist organization that's committed some heinous crimes. And it's like, none of that would happen if we didn't feel different than our neighbor. Like, that's the, like, war and battle and fighting is because of differences. It's not because of similarities. It's not because of people thinking, oh, okay, well, I can see how, from your perspective, this is the way of life. It's from extremists on any side. Like, in my opinion, people that are fighting in wars, that are controlling wars, that are in organizations, like, you know, that are militant, those are people with extreme views on how to behave, how to be. They believe in certain things, whether it's the law or a new law. They believe in those things. That's the only way to get people to act like that, is to really make them believe. They believe in something. I mean, you don't wake up and just start being like, yeah, I could go kill some people. You know, it takes a certain type of person to do that. And it takes a certain type of person that, in my opinion, does not see the perspective of other people that they are wanting to kill. Yeah, so it's very complicated. And the big thing about war, of course, is that the majority of people that are killed in wars have nothing to do with the extreme beliefs, or at least very little. I mean, it's just bad luck that they are located in a certain plot of ground. You know, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible to think that you are that different, and that your difference and somebody else's difference can lead to death and killing. I mean, if we think about what death is, it's somebody's life and future life getting erased. Like, it's the, it, you know, it's a flame getting extinguished. It is an experience that will never happen. And that's pretty wild to put that in your own hands, to say, hey, your life will no longer continue. That's a crazy thing to wish upon somebody else. That is really, really crazy, I would say. I think, you know, unfortunately, there is a lot of things out of our control. As, like, I mean, the people that control this conflict, the people that control any conflict that is going on in the world right now or in the future, there are very few people that actually control conflicts. Very few. And probably that's not going to be you. I mean, nobody listening to this, I imagine, is somebody who is in control of whether people die or not. And in control of a type of conflict. So that's pretty crazy. So that leaves you. I mean, if you're not one of those people, if you're not a general, if you're not the leader of something or like high up or involved in like something like that, you know, it's like you're trying to live your life and you're not involved in any of that. So those are the people basically that need the most perspective change, the people that are in those positions. But they are probably the least likely to be open to perspective change, because that changes their entire world. Because, like, you know, somebody who just needs to be a little kinder to their coworker, they can hear this with very little consequence that you should like develop your perspective of other people's experiences and that you should be aware that everybody's just trying to have a good life. That's going to change your life in a very small amount. And so you can hear this with a lot of openness and agree with it. The people that disagree with this the most, where they can't even have the conversation. Like the people cannot even have that conversation, some people, because their entire life is dictated with not thinking that their enemy is the same as them. They cannot feel compassion towards that person. And then there's the big sliding scale between that. And we land somewhere probably closer to that being nicer to your coworker, even though they're different than you, right? That's the kind of idea there. So, you know, and there's going to be some people that just disagree with that. They just think, oh, well, you know, that person's different than me. I don't really care about what their culture is. I don't care about their past, who they are. They're annoying to me in this fashion and form, and they disagree even with that statement that I made, that we all just need to be aware and look out for ourselves and others who are trying to live a good life. So we all just want to live a good life, whatever that means. I would say that's true. I still agree with that thought that I had while tripping. I think we all are just trying to live a good life, you know. And I'm talking in broad generalizations. There are narcissists, psychopaths, severely mentally ill people out there that are not trying to live a good life. They are having an entirely different experience than that. They're having an experience that is probably hell in a lot of ways, and it feels entirely different than the one that you're experiencing. But most of us are trying to have a good life, and we should be proud of ourselves. We should be proud. We should be happy when we can be, that we are doing our best. And our best doesn't always look that great, but we are all trying to improve.